So go ahead, so good morning.
Good morning, Hanan. I'll go ahead and mute.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakar. Anna Bakar, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Terra, Alephet Gimel, Yutat Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Chasagbenu, Taharenu, Nora, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat, Shamem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin, Barchem Taharem, Rachame Sidkatha, Tamid Gamlem, Betet Resh, Tzaditach Gimel, Hasin Kadosh, Berov Tuvcha, Nael Adata, Het Kuf Bet, Pet Nunayan, Yachid Gea, Lamcha Pene, Zokre Kedushata, Yud Gimelamet, Pei Zayin Kuf, Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shin Kufav, Vadi Yuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed Be'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Noseah Avon Wafesha, V'chata'ah V'nakeh. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. The verse comes from Parashat Yitro. It's known as Pasuk 29. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha b'richu ishkim pei b'tchilu urchimu d'chilu d'chilu urchimu Le'akta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah Lasok Torah mitzvah Vayhino amadonai Eloheinu alei namaasei yadeinu konenei alei namaasei yadeinu konenehu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nandakucha Perichu Koma Deaved Leela Witata Ola Ihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Veleid Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Vedach Yaleya Mine Yaula Naga Veya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzteri Bialma. The energy of this year, 5780, our current year, as a revealed essence of compensation and a concealed essence of Shefa. The way we reveal the Shefa connected to the compensation is by studying a verse from the Tanakh that connects to both of these energies. Today we will study a verse from Jonah, chapter 2, verse 6. Afafuni ma'im ad nefesh tehom yisovaveni su pavush l'roshi. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The deep was round about me. The weeds were wrapped around about my head. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's one verse from the Tanakh that we study that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom leamili Israel untati vishakan ta'ta willo yirgaz ahon willo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto asher barishona. We'll now connect to the 72 names of God. Utilizing a tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote ala me mehe shila lahe aka aka heta he zayo ala da la awa he heya yo zala me behe he re yo he ko me. La awa kalayo, la wawa pehela, nulaha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa, nuta he he a, yo re ta shi a he, re yo yo awa me, la ka be wa shi re, yo he wa la he he, ka wa ko me nu da, anu yo he a me, Hey hey ah yo yo za, hey 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 me yo ha, wa wa la yo la hey, sa a la re yo, a shi la me yo hey, wa hey wa da nu yo, hey hey shi a me me, nu nu wa nu yo ta, me be hey pe wa yo, nu me me yo yo la, hey re hey me ta re. Wa me be yo hey hey anu wa me se yo da me be me nu ko ayo a hey be wa re a hey yo be me hey yo yo me wa me. And now we will connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo cha la me re he he yo yo me he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa Nu yo hey hey shi ya yo re ta shi ya hey re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da la nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi hey me ka ha wa wa la yo yo hey. Sa a la re yo a a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa Hey la hey yo yo may, hey la yo may hey may. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the sixth day of Tammuz, Rabbi Chaim de la Rosa, Rabbi Moshe ben Rabbi Yaakov Shimshon of Kosov, Rabbi Shmuel Mehar, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Algazi, and the Tzaddikim who will leave Sunday night and Monday, the 7th of Tammuz, Rabbi Baruch Frankel Tumim, Rabbi Gedalia Schnorr, Rabbi Simcha Bunim, Altar, he's known as the Altar of Ger, the Lev Simcha, the Happy Hearts. The Ani meditation, which we use to climb the tree. Malchut. Yo aheni wa yohei, yo aheni wa yohei, yo aheni wa yohei. Yesod. Yu ahuni wu yohu, yu ahuni wu yohu, yu ahuni wu yohu. Hod. Yu ahuni wu yohu, yu ahuni wu yohu, yu ahuni wu yohu. Netzach, yi ahini wi yohi, yi ahini wi yohi, yi ahini wi yohi. Tiferet, yo ahuni wo yoho, yo ahuni wo yoho, yo ahuni wo yoho. Yibura, yaash, ni wi yosh, yaash, ni wi yosh, yaash. Niwi Yosh. That's it. Yeah, anyway, your hair. Yeah, anyway, your hair. Yeah, anyway, your hair. Bina. Yeah, anyway, your hair. Yeah, anyway, your hair. Yeah, anyway, your hair. Hapa. Yeah, anyway, your hair. Ya ahani wa yoha, ya ahani wa yoha, Keter. Ya ahani wa yoha, ya ahani wa yoha, ya ahani wa yoha. The Ma meditation. Yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey. Yud hey wow, yud hey wow, hey yud, yud hey, yud hey wow, yud hey wow, hey. The bridge kaddish. Id gadal vid kadash emei rabba, and we all say amen. Alma divra kirute viam lich malchute bechaye honu viomechon uvechaye tikol bit Yisrael bagalal vizman kariv itbarach vishtabach vitpar vitroman vitase vitadar itale vitalal shemetikucha. The Elamin called Birkata Vishirata to Ushbechata v'nechemata da'amiran bi'alma Keheshlama rabba min shamaya V'chaim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. O se shalom bimromav Uya se shalom aleinu V'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper, our class today is preparation for the upcoming 3-week period, the 3 negative weeks. You'll find the handouts on the unique astrological times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. Or if you have a mobile device, it's usually at the bottom of the page. When you click on the astrological times, when the landing page opens up, scroll down to the 3-week period. And the link for today's class is titled Deeper Insights to the 3-week Period. We will start with a L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kudshabarichu Ishkinte Bivkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yudhe Bavavhe Be'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konenehu. When you first open the page up for our class today, you see 6 links are discussing the 3-week period from different perspectives. I presented them to you so that you have the ability to learn more than just from me. I present them to you so that I hope you will start preparing for this 3-week period. Because while we call it a negative period, a 3 weeks of negativity, it's actually the greatest ability to reveal the light is in those 3 weeks, as we will come to understand Bezrat Hashem. The 3-week period runs from the 17th of Tammuz until the 9th of Av. It is generally considered a negative period of time. Most of the people in the writings speak of this period as relating to the physical events in history, like the destruction of the temple or the destruction of Jerusalem. Our sages have us perform 2 fasts during this period. One is on the 17th of Tammuz, the beginning of the period, and it has a partial fast from morning to sunset. And one is on the 9th of Av, the end of the period, which is a 25-hour fast. The Kabbalists teach us that there is no physical item that becomes the cause of anything in our physical world. The cause is always spiritual. So to understand this period, we need to deal with the spiritual causes. There is a teaching by the Kabbalists that there is an angel who receives the energy of each day of the year. This angel is a different angel for each day of the year. Each action that is done by each person is given to this angel when the actions are done on a specific day. The Kabbalists teach that the Satan, the angel of death, receives the energy on the 9th of Av. It is also taught that it takes 3 weeks to build up to any specific manifestation. The Kabbalists teach us that these 3 weeks lead to the manifestation of both the destruction of the spiritual temple by the Satan and also the birth of Mashiach, which occurs on the same day and takes 3 weeks to manifest as well. With the above in mind, let us see what happened in this period throughout the years, so that we can see the spiritual cause behind these physical actions. On the 17th of Tammuz, Moshe returned from Mount Sinai with the first set of tablets. He found the nation involved with idol worshiping the golden calf. He broke the tablets. He returned to Mount Sinai on the first of Elul and returned on Yom Kippur, bringing the second set of tablets. On the 17th of Tammuz, both times, the temple was destroyed. The city of Jerusalem's walls were pierced by the destroyers. The spies returned to the nation in the wilderness after touring the land of Israel and choosing to become spies for the nation rather than tourists. The temples were destroyed on the 9th of Av, and also the expulsion from Spain in 1492 took place on the 9th of Av. Also, the Jewish Problem White Paper was issued on the 9th of Av during the German Reich and the Second World War. There are many more items of destruction throughout history that takes place during this three-week period. But essentially, the three-week period was supposed to be good. It's just our human actions that caused it to turn negative. It is clear from the above that the 17th of Tammuz was to have been a happy period, culminating in the 9th of Av with the birth of Mashiach and the entry into the land of Israel. Unfortunately, man's actions affect our physical world in both directions, positively and negatively. Therefore, this period is considered negative. Thus, it is recommended that one mourn the loss of the temples, and at the same time, one needs to look forward to the coming birth and manifestation of the Mashiach. What will you do to make this happen? The Kabbalists tell us we don't mourn the loss of the physical temple. We mourn the separation of the spiritual temple from our connections. In the least, we need to look forward to the 7 weeks of consolation that lead up to Rosh Hashanah, preparing your teshuvah, performing your teshuvah, returning to Hashem. Below are some various writings that I found informative over the years about the 3 weeks. When misfortune strikes, how can you feel close to Hashem? Most people feel distant and isolated, wondering where Hashem is and why Hashem doesn't help them. Yet nothing could be further from the truth. Strangely enough, it is in these moments of calamity that Hashem is especially close to us. We need to understand why this is true. The Talmud in Tractate Yoma describes God's love for the Jewish people. Rabbi Katina said, whenever Israel came up for the festival, the curtain in the temple would be removed for them, and the cherubim, the angel-like male and female statues were shown to them, whose bodies were embracing one another. They would then be addressed, Look, you are beloved before Hashem as the love between man and woman. The Gemara continues and describes the position of the cherubim at the moment the temple was destroyed. Reish Lakish said, when the heathens entered the temple and saw the cherubim, their bodies were embracing one another. Our commenters point out the Maharasha in the name of the Ritva. The cherubim embracing one another at the moment when the temple was destroyed is in direct contradiction with the Gemara in Baba Batra, which asks, how did they, the cherubim, stand? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are in dispute on the matter. One says they faced each other, and the other says their faces were inward. But according to him who says that they faced each other, it may be asked, is it not written and their faces were inward? This is not a difficult. The former was at a time when Israel obeyed the will of Hashem. The latter was at a time when Israel did not obey the will of Hashem. At the time of our utmost destruction and devastation, the cherubim were embracing one another. If this is a measurement of Hashem's love for us, then why should it coincide with such a terrible punishment? Yet the fact is that Hashem had a great love for us at that time of the destruction of the temple. We see from the Ramban in Bereshit 19:17 an example of this principle from the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. Perkei de Rabbi Elazar, chapter 25, states, the angel said to them, do not look behind you, since the divine presence of the Holy One, blessed be He, has descended to rain brimstone and fire upon Sodom and Amorah. The compassion of Edith, Lot's wife, welled up for her married daughters who were in Sodom, and she looked behind her to see if they were following her. She thereupon saw the back of the divine presence, and she became a pillar of salt. When the fire and brimstone Hashem was close and revealed to those who were receiving his fury, why can't Hashem punish the wicked from a distance? Can't the judgment be carried out by the heavenly hosts? Why does Hashem need to be there? The Talmud in Nedarim states, Rabin said in Rav's name, where do we know that the Almighty sustains the sick? From the verse, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Rabin also said in Rav's name, where do we know that the divine presence rests above in an invalid's bed? From the verse, the Lord doth set himself upon the bed of languishing. It was taught likewise, he who visits the sick must not sit upon the bed, or on a stool or a chair, but must reverently robe himself and sit upon the ground, because the divine presence rests above an invalid's bed, as it is written, the Lord doth set himself upon the bed of languishing. When Hashem chastises someone, he does so with a special love and closeness. Why is this such an essential ingredient in the execution of Hashem's punishments? There was once a child in Cheder, in school, whose inappropriate behavior demanded a strike from his Rebbe. The Rebbe calmly sat down and read from the Book of Psalms for several minutes, then went outside for a walk. When the Rebbe returned, he walked directly up to the child and implemented the punishment, which was justly needed to set the boy back on the proper path. So difficult at the moment, the young boy decided to correct his ways, for he knew that his Rebbe acted out of love and truth, and not from his personal anger or resentment. When we know that Hashem is close to us and loves us, his judgments and punishments will bring us to repentance and the perfection of our deeds. It is only with the embrace of Hashem's love for us and the awareness of his altruism that we can perceive the truth and justice of his decrees. The 3 weeks is a time when we mourn over the destruction of our holy temple. Let us take to heart this terrible and dreadful decree and rebuild the temple with our wholehearted repentance and good deeds. The Talmudic source were quoted from Rabbi Chaim Shmulewitz, the late Rav Rosh Yeshiva of the Mirror Sital. The 3 weeks. A series of restrictions is associated with the period of time between the 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. This is written by Robert Goodman. The 3 weeks prior to and ending with Tisha B'Av are known as Bein HaMetzarim, which means in the straits. The Haftorah portion for these 3 weeks are Jeremiah 1, verses 2 to 28, 2, 4 to 28, and 3, 4, and Isaiah 1 to 1 to 27. They call for the people to perform acts of repentance and to be firm in their faith. Hashem will not abandon them, even though all seems lost. While these are 3 weeks of mourning, the 9 days prior to Tisha B'Av are more intense in their observance of the rules of mourning than the first 12 days. No weddings or other joyous festivals are held during the entire 20-day, one-day period. During the last 9 days of the period, no meat is eaten. There is to be no haircuts, no clothes washed, unless they are to be worn again during these 9 days, and no iron clothes are worn. The practice among Reconstructionist, Reform, and Conservative Jews ranges from full observance of the 21 days to observance of the 9 day period to observance of only Tisha B'Av itself. A communal mourning. Reenacting the sorrow felt by those who survived the destruction of the temple. By Rabbi Irving Greenberg. In classic Jewish style, the fundamental model of Tisha B'Av is in a reenactment of that tragic historical-oriented event. In going through the 4 historical fast days, Jews relive the stages of destruction of the first and second temple, as well as the loss of Jewish sovereignty. It is interesting in light of the role that food plays in Jewish culture, that intense grief and guilt are expressed by giving up food. While the primary model is reenactment, the halakha also draws upon its imagery of grief for the dead member of the immediate family. There is this difference, however, between grief over death of a loved one and mourning on human historical tragedy. In the case of death in the family, the shock of loss sets in motion the sorrow and the mourning that come pouring out of the Shiva. The 7 days of mourning that comes after the death and burial. When reliving historical tragedy, one knows the outcome at the outset. Thus, the sense of doom and grief builds up before the day actually arrives. The day of destruction is a culmination of the grief, but immediately thereafter, since nothing can be done to prevent the tragedy from happening, the psychological balance shifts toward the renewal of life. The first fast day in the sequence is the 10th day of Tevet, the day on which the siege of Jerusalem began in 586 BCE. However, since the day occurs more than 6 months before the date of the actual destruction, the pang of recollection on this day has not had so much resonance. The same can be said of the last day in the sequence, the fast of Gedaliah, occurring the third of Tishrei, coming 2 months after Tisha B'Av and dwarfed by the propinquity of Yom Kippur. The fast of Gedaliah has had a limited impact. Both of these fast days begin at dawn, whereas Tisha B'Av starts at sundown on the previous night. On Tisha B'Av, the sorrow is so total that it goes beyond fasting to giving up such other pleasures as washing, cosmetic anointing of the body, and sexual relations. Not so the other three fast days on which deprivation is limited to food, to fasting. The primary liturgy of grief for the destruction is acted out in the three-week period between the 17th day of Tammuz and the 9th of Av. It should be noted that these 2 days antedate the Talmud. When the rabbis brought the 2 days together in a choreography of grief and reenactment, the 3 weeks were gradually filled in to help the mourners recreate the rising crescendo of destruction. The halakha structured the entire period into 5 stages of grief, corresponding to the imminence of catastrophe. The underlying experience that the individual should live through is that of a first century Jerusalem defender who goes through the siege from inception to becoming a prisoner of the Romans at the climax. Stage one is the 17th of Tammuz. The wall of Jerusalem has been penetrated by the Romans, a clear signal that the end is coming. Jews, feeling the shock of the forthcoming destruction, do not eat from sunrise to sunset. Penitential prayers are recited, summoning up the many terrible occurrences on this day. Stage two. After this day, the intensity drops as people settle in for the terminal state of siege. The final part of the siege is reenacted during the 3 weeks between the two terminal days, the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av. While the city of Jerusalem is gradually reduced, Jews correspondingly intensify their grief and anxiety. Weddings are prohibited because the joy of marriage is incompatible with the mood of sorrow. Engagements are permitted for fear that by postponement they may be lost, though engagement parties are not held. There are other grief rituals during the 3 weeks, taking no haircuts. In ancient times, letting hair grow long was a sign of mourning, and performing no acts that would inspire a blessing of the Shekhiyanu, the blessing for something new and joyful, such as buying new clothes, a new home, a new car, or eating a new fruit for the first time in a year. If the fruit will no longer be available after Tisha B'Av, this restriction is waived on Shabbat, because on the Shabbat, the fantasy of a perfect world still operates. The symbolic statement in these self-denials is, who has the faith to go out and buy new things or plan for the future? Who has the heart to try to look good when the end is nearly drawing near? Throughout the 3 weeks, prophetic portions that proclaim Israel's sin and the forthcoming destruction are read in the synagogue. The last of these prophetics, Philippics, is Chazon Yeshayahu, the vision of Isaiah. It is a devastating critique of the sin and corruption of Israel. In anticipation of sorrow, the portion is sung in the melody of Echa, the Lamentations of Tisha B'Av. Chazon is always read on the Shabbat preceding the ninth of Av. That Shabbat has become known as Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of the vision. Stage three. From the beginning of the month of Av, there is a countdown of 9 days to destruction. The grief intensifies. In the initial Talmudic phase, the most intense mourning rituals were observed during the week in which Tisha B'Av itself occurred. Over the years, however, the entire 9 days have become a unit of mourning among the Ashkenazi Jews. Sephardic Jews generally restrict these deprivations to the immediate week in which Tisha B'Av occurs. A folk saying goes, when Av begins, cut back joy. Home construction or painting is held off. With exile imminent, who would build or improve his home? Orthodox practice prohibits the eating of meat and the drinking of wine. Symbolically, the anxiety is crippling my capacity for enjoying life. I'm losing my appetite. Interestingly, these deprivations are also rituals of an onen, that is, one who has lost an immediate family member and has not yet buried him. It is as if people know the temple is doomed but have not yet reached the full acceptance symbolized by burial. Fresh clothes are a source of pleasure, so laundering and dry cleaning are postponed. Of course, diapers are exempted. Total bathing is given up except for Shabbat. Hence, there is no swimming in that period, according to the Orthodox tradition. Symbolically, the noise of the Roman armies approaching disrupts the ease and order of daily life. Stage four. Last meal of the day before Tisha B'Av, the Suda Makseket, the meal that separates eating from fasting, is highly restricted. It is as if Jews already feel the grief of the survivor or the severe loss of appetite felt by a war prisoner. Since people want to be able to fast well, lunch is generally a full meal. But in the late afternoon, a simple meal is eaten without multiple courses. In many families, people even eat separately to avoid the festive aspect of a mezuzah, a trio for grace. Some people eat eggs and or beans, the food of mourners, because their circularity evokes the idea of the wheel of fate and of silent mourning. Some eat only bread and water, even dipping a piece of bread in ashes before eating. In Jewish ritual, mourners give up wearing leather shoes because they are comfortable. Besides, those who have just experienced the powerful loss of death do not want to wear something manufactured from animal skins. That is something derived from death of another. Therefore, shoes are exchanged for canvas sneakers or sandals before sundown. unless the day preceding Tisha B'Av is Shabbat, in which case public display of mourning is inappropriate. In such a case, sneakers are not put on until after Shabbat ends. Stage 5. For approximately 24 hours, adding on as is usual with Jewish sacred time, Jews act out total grief on Tisha B'Av. The symbolic acts draw from the rituals of a mourner sitting Shiva, but the powerful paradigm is that of an overwhelmed defender of Jerusalem, now a Roman prisoner of war. From sundown to sundown, traditional Jews neither eat nor drink nor wash nor anoint themselves. Recall the scenes of Jews in the Holocaust, kept sitting in the open squares all day without food or water. In the same spirit, they give up sexual relations that night. The story of the destruction is retold vividly by reading the Book of Lamentations. Unshaven, unwashed, hungry, people re-experience the tragedy of the destruction. This is as far as we go in this page today. We have 2 more weeks in preparation. Next week, we will learn what are the meditations that the Ari has given us to help us weather this period of negativity. And then on the 3rd week, we will finish this handout, starting with the mystical insights by Rabbi Bar Tzedak. Does anyone have any questions? The 3 weeks are coming. We need to prepare. We need to plan how we will live. We need to plan how we are going to prepare ourselves for the mourning period. Not for the destruction of a physical item like the temple, but for the loss of the connection to the temple. At 3 o'clock today, we will have a continuing class in advanced reincarnation. At 11 a.m. Monday, tomorrow morning, we will continue our basic studies. Shavua Tov, Shalom to all, Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful day and a beautiful week. Shalom.
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 Thank you.
Thank you all.